From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Substance Blessed. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5, Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Obedience brings a blessing on all the provisions which our industry earns for us. That which comes in and goes out at once, like the fruit in the basket which is for immediate use, shall be blessed, and that which is laid by with us for a longer season shall equally receive a blessing. Perhaps ours is a handbasket portion. We have a little for breakfast, and a scanty bite for dinner in a basket when we go out to do our work in the morning. This is well, for the blessing of God is promised to the basket. If we live from hand to mouth, getting each day's supply in the day, we are as well off as Israel, for when the Lord entertained his favored people, he only gave them a day's manna at a time. What more did they need? What more do we need? But if we have a store, how much we need the Lord to bless it! For there is the care of getting, the care of keeping, the care of managing, the care of using. And unless the Lord bless it, these cares will eat into our hearts, till our goods become our gods, and our cares prove cankers. O Lord, bless our substance. Enable us to use it for thy glory. Help us to keep worldly things in their proper places, and never may our savings endanger the saving of our souls.
If I gain the world, but have not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort? Soon must pass away. If I gain the world but have not Jesus, would my gain be worth a life of strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior, when I come eternity.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, The Gospel, the Foundation, and the Fullness of the Christian Life. In the earlier part of the message, we saw that Paul rejoiced in the efficacy of the gospel, in the experience of the merits of Christ, and in the effects of the gospel in the lives of Roman Christians. He testified that the gospel was the core of his existence, the substance of his preaching, his praying, and his living. Now the apostle is describing the task God had laid upon him as Christ's servant. It was to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, evangelism was the first task of the church. Then it is the job of the ministry to establish believers in the gospel so that they may serve God effectively. As Dr. Cairns emphasizes, that means instructing Christians in the very heart of the gospel, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life.
Evangelism, in all its forms, giving out the gospel, leaving a gospel tract, giving a word of testimony, inviting a sinner to the gospel meeting, going to say, don't say, I'll see you there, I'll bring you there. Opening up your home to bring sinners in, using your own board, your own table, to make it a place of evangelism. Whatever God puts upon your heart. But this is the thing. Paul looked out at the city and he said, I have got to win it for Christ. That's the first task of the church of Jesus Christ. Whatever else we do, if we lose out in evangelism, we have lost our reason to exist. Jesus said, go, preach the gospel. Go and teach all nations. Is it too much to envisage that from this little congregation in Greenville, the gospel will reach out, not just by radio waves or internet, but by personal word, work, and witness. The gospel will reach out to the world. Is that too much to envisage? Is it too much to envisage that this great nation will be reached and from this place will go out young men to every great center of population and from there to the towns and cities and villages of America with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I believe that once God sets fire to a church to evangelize, that conflagration will burn under divine control in such a way that no man or devil could stop it. Paul said the first thing was evangelism. That was his task. But evangelism is not an end in itself. It's not the end of the road. Evangelism is to make sinners into saints. And that leads us then to the second strand in Paul's task, which is establishment. You see, Paul wanted to go to Rome because there were people there already saved. That was unusual for him, for he didn't normally go where someone else had been before him doing the preaching. He usually broke virgin soil. In this case, there was no other preacher or apostle there. These people had come together from many places, so Paul wanted to go and see them strengthened. The idea is rooted and grounded. He wanted to see them strengthened. That was always his concern. You remember what he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, praying for them that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This was Paul's burden, to see Christians established. See, it's a lovely thing to see somebody saved, just as it's a beautiful thing to see a newborn babe. But you've got to see something beyond that. I've often said to you, it's only when you get into a family where the baby remains a baby that you understand just what an awful heartbreak that is. It's lovely to see people saved. But once they're saved, they've got to be rooted and grounded and strengthened by the might of Christ. He wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 2 of his first epistle, I send Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. The word means to strengthen you, to make you solid. I think that gets the meaning, to make you solid. When you see people saved, you want to see them made solid in the faith. Solid in the gospel. Again, writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 2:17 of the second epistle, he says, may the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, here's the question. How does God establish Christians? How does God make them solid? How does he establish them in good words and good works? How does God do that? Well, here's the answer. Romans 16:25 spells it out. Now to him that is of power to establish you, listen, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. You remember what he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is how God makes people solid. He teaches them the gospel. I'll tell you, there is a great problem in modern day Christianity. I heard a preacher recently. My wife has been gone, so I could do this without having a sermon poured into my ear. I should say that when I have studied a certain length of time and I get a break, so as I don't get too dull, if I can get a half hour to watch somebody play golf how it ought to be played, realize why I don't usually go on a golf course, I do that. But of course, you know, American television, they show adverts, and I detest adverts. I can't think of anything that I would see advertised in a television program would make me want to buy it. It makes me so mad that they have had the audacity to interrupt me that I would just not buy it out of spite. So every time that comes on, I flip away, and to the consternation of my wife, I flip away to see what the charismatics are saying. It's not making me a charismatic. If I was against them before, I'm more against them now, as the result. But anyway, there was this fella. By the way, if I were bald, this is what I would do. He had one fella standing there and one fella standing there, and they were jigging around as he was preaching. And he would walk up and down. He had a funny-looking coat on him with white in the vents at the back. I don't know what he was supposed to look like, but he had a bald head. And as he walked up and down like this here, and they where he was sweating, they would walk forward and they would rub his dome with their towel. they would somehow keep the sweat from blinding him. The poor couldn't have seen less if he had been blinded, because he's absolutely daft. And there he was, strutting about that platform, telling these people about the evils of doctrine. Is a Christian, so-called Christian preacher. mere doctrine. It's the old story. And he actually made the statement, your doctrine will take you to hell. I want to tell you the doctrine of justification by free grace through faith in Jesus Christ never took anybody to hell. But that's what he said. Don't talk to me about doctrine. And that's the mindset. Once you get people, quotes, to make a commitment, then you keep getting them to make other commitments. And you think by getting them to make other commitments, walk the aisle this Sunday, walk the aisle next Sunday, walk the aisle the following Sunday, in some way you're strengthening them. And anybody who has ever been up and down those aisles will know, far from making them solid, it is tearing the guts out of their experience. And I heard another preacher, a great Southern Baptist preacher, one of the most successful men in America, and one of the most sincere. He's going down to tell you how to get solid. And the story's always the same. He said, we have got to discover these principles. And he always has 6, 7, 8, or 9, 10 principles. And here's this principle, and 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 this principle. And this is what's going to make you solid. But it doesn't. That's law. The law can tell you what you ought to do, but it can't give you the power to do it. Paul says, listen, you'll be established according to my gospel. If you want to get established, you don't need to go into all these finely drawn principles that people have dreamed up. You need to get to understand the gospel. You need to understand the depths of the person and work of Christ. You need to be rooted in the great doctrines of the covenant of grace. You need to be made solid in what it is to be in Christ and to have the objective application to your heart of the merits of Christ. You need to know what it is to be accepted in the beloved. And when these things get through to your heart, my then you'll be able to live right. When you see Jesus, you will be a principled person, because the product of the gospel is a life of holiness that fulfills the law of God. But it has to start with the gospel. It has to start with the gospel. So Paul says, this is my task. I've got to teach you the gospel. You think you know the gospel because you've been saved. Listen, the gospel is deeper than the deepest ocean on earth. And you have never begun to plumb its depths. The more you study it, the more there is to study. The more you plunge into it, the deeper it will appear to you to be. The gospel is as vast, listen to me, in its characteristics and in its wisdom and power, it's as vast as God is, because it is the wisdom of God and it is the power of God. Oh, that we would then get to this place of establishment by the gospel. But beyond that, the third great thing was edification or encouragement. He wanted them. And I use edification not because edification and encouragement are synonymous terms always, but because in the connection that I'm using them, they are. Paul wanted them encouraged to be built up. And the way to build people up is to encourage them in Christ. That's another thing we preachers need to learn. I grew up in a country in Northern Ireland at a time when preaching, and I'm glad I got to listen to Dr. Bert Cook as my preacher every week, the greatest of preachers, best evangelistic preacher I have ever heard in my life. And I had the privilege, therefore, of escaping much of the rubbish that was going on. But I have seen other lives destroyed by this, that preachers thought It was a great meeting if they went in and they ripped God's people apart, and they were always ripping and snorting and making everybody go out feeling guilty, and you had people coming out. My, wasn't that a great meeting? It made us all feel rotten. And that was the mentality. Great meeting. Man, he took us to the cleaners tonight. Great meeting. Now, there's times, believe me, there are times when the preacher needs to castigate God's people. Don't you think for a minute that this pulpit is going to go easy on the sins of Christians. It's not. But that's only to clear the decks, to get them to the place where they can be built up. How do you build people up? You encourage them in the things of God. And so Paul says to them in verse 12 that he wants to come that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In other words, I want you to be comforted through my faith, and I want me to be comforted through your faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.